This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, March 13th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, legal issues in the news and the legal intricacies of misspelled tattoos. We'll also have a forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Keyser first to look at the news today. A University of Illinois trustee says he still wants a judge to say whether the NCAA was within its legal rights when imposing sanctions against the university. David Dorsey's resolution is one of two concerning Chief Illiniwek on today's Board of Trustees agenda. He wants the U of I to join two former chiefs in a lawsuit against the NCAA. Prior to last month's retirement of the chief, the Athletic Governing Board had barred the U of I from hosting postseason tournaments. Dorsey says the appeal filed by outside counsel didn't seek a legal opinion on the matter. He says that's the opposite of what the trustees wanted.
My concern at this point is as much about the methods that are being used to handle this as the ultimate decision. I can live with the decision, whatever it is, but without a legitimate airing of the legality of the original decision, we can't make a decision that will ever have credibility with the public.
The second resolution before the trustees today, the first that will be considered, concerns the consensus process in reaching closure on the end of Chief Illiniwek's halftime performance. It would pretty much be a ratification of what Trustees Chair Larry Epley had announced when the chief was retired back in February. Dorsey says he likely won't consider that measure since it was just submitted yesterday morning and he hasn't had time to decipher it. Dorsey says he's also concerned how future decisions regarding mascots or symbols at the U of I could be handled by administrators. A Champaign attorney has filed a suit in another attempt to save the chief. John Goodall believes the University of Illinois broke state law by doing away with the chief. He cites a 1996 state statute in which the General Assembly declared Chief Illiniwek the honored symbol of the school. The lawsuit was filed in Champaign County Circuit Court. It asks a judge to nullify last month's decision to end the performances. Tom Hardy, a spokesman for the university's Board of Trustees, says he hasn't seen a copy of the suit. In 2003, Goodall bought billboards in Champaign-Urbana calling for the ouster of former Chancellor Nancy Cantor over her opposition to the chief. Moody's Investor Services has cut the credit rating for Ameren's Illinois utilities to below investment grade, or junk status. That threatens the company's plan to give residential customers a one-time rebate, which the Illinois Commerce Commission approved yesterday. The utility giant wanted to spend $20 million on rebates for residential customers who use the most electricity. The proposal would also eliminate the interest that customers currently pay to defer their bill payments. But Ameren said in a statement last week that the proposed rebates and the 0% interest phase-in plan would be eliminated in the event of a credit downgrade. Ameren spokesman Neil Johnson says the company plans to contact the ICC today to inform them of that downgrade. School officials in Champaign say this year's district-wide school report card shows some real progress and some continuing problems. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Deputy School Superintendent Dorlan Norris says the state's annual report on Unit 4 schools shows that student test score improvements first found in the lower grades are starting to show up in higher grades. Norris credits a curriculum closely aligned with achievement exam standards.
You look at aligning your curriculum in such a way that as the kids move through the system, they get stronger and stronger. In other words, they accelerate. And we're beginning to really see stronger acceleration in the elementary schools, and we're seeing gains now being made in middle schools.
But the rate of improvement was slower for middle school students and even slower for high schoolers. 11th grade test scores show only slight improvement. 11th grade science scores among African American students were among those showing an actual decline. Norris says they're continuing to look at ways to help those students. She says one key factor is encouraging more of them to seek out college track courses. She says students who take on the more challenging courses invariably learn more than they would at a lower academic level. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The Illinois State Treasurer is wanting higher returns for a popular college savings program. More on that story from Sean Ali.
The Bright Start program gives Illinois parents a tax-free way of saving for college. But Treasurer Alexi Junulius says Bright Start has been pretty dim when it comes to returns. And he says the current management company charges fees almost twice the national average. So he replaced it. Investment giant Oppenheimer Funds will soon manage Bright Start portfolios.
Basically what we're doing is we're offering more of an investment portfolio, more options, with better rates of return at lower fees. We need to make sure we have the best plan in the United States, and I'm confident that that's what we're doing right now.
There are more than 142,000 Bright Start accounts in Illinois. The state expects all of them will be transferred to Oppenheimer Funds accounts by summer's end. I'm Sean Ali.
A quarterly survey of employers' hiring intentions around Champaign-Urbana finds a lot of optimism. No one says they expect any layoffs over the next 3 months. The survey from the temporary employment firm Manpower suggests two-thirds of the Champaign-Urbana area's employers expect no change in their payrolls between April and June, and the rest say they expect to hire. Local Manpower manager Eric Ferguson says some of the optimism comes from the area's character, with the University of Illinois a solid anchor of employment. He says the report only shows hiring intentions in a segment of the area's job market.
It's not going to really affect too much our unemployment figures in a positive way due to the university just being, you know, such a massive presence, and vice versa, you know, when a company, you know, would have a downturn, you know, as unfortunate as it might be, it's not going to negatively affect the county as a whole.
The survey says across Illinois, 28% of employers plan to hire, with 7% planning to cut back. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. What happens when somebody with a tattoo suddenly recognizes that the tattoo is misspelled? In some cases, lawyers get involved. Here's Amy Guida with this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
Perhaps by now you've heard the sorry tale of the tattoo getter who walked into a shop and asked for a tattoo on his chest spelling out Chicago's proud nickname, Chi-Town. The tattoo getter, they say, left with the word Chi-Tunwa etched into his skin. With a transposed W and N, Chi-Town becomes a word with very little brand recognition. This sort of thing has happened before. In Michigan a few years ago, the tattoo getter and the tattoo artist couldn't agree about the spelling for the word villain and finally settled on V-I-L-L-I-A-N without looking at a dictionary. The tattoo getter didn't realize the error until he flexed his villain for a friend, and the friend started to laugh. A villain simply isn't as intimidating as a villain, and the guy with the villain tattoo allegedly needed plastic surgery to remove the error. I tried unsuccessfully to track down the Michigan man's attorney, so I don't know what ultimately happened in the case. He'd sued for negligence, as has the Chi-Town man. To prove negligence, the tattoo getter would have to show that the tattoo giver had a duty to tattoo correctly, breached that duty, and caused the tattoo getter damage. First, duty. Duty would be defined as the standard of care that a tattoo artist must practice. And standard of care is shown by what other tattoo artists do under similar circumstances, like use a dictionary. But a quick search through the cases shows that a number of people have misspelled tattoos, one proclaiming somewhat obscurely, "Mot Gullity," instead of "not guilty." Another with the misspelled but apparently heartfelt word, "mother." Second, breach of that duty. Any person with a misspelled tattoo who sued for negligence would have to convince a court that the duty had been breached, a highly fact-dependent analysis. Third, causation. Any plaintiff would probably argue that by taking pen and ink in hand and applying it to the tattoo getter's arm in a way that would shock Noah Webster, causation was met. The defense would likely argue that the plaintiff had had a number of chances to check on the spelling. Fourth, damage. The tattoo getter must show that he's been hurt in some way. Mocking laughter of his friend may not suffice, but any surgery or additional tattooing needed to cover up the error probably would. There's another wrinkle in some tattoo cases. It's known as a liability waiver. We'll have to wait to see what was signed in the Chi-Town case, if anything. But a standard tattoo liability waiver is enough to convince the faint-hearted to avoid the tattoo rage. Injury infection, scarring, allergies, fading. And then there's this unnerving line. Neither the artist nor the tattoo studio is responsible for the meaning or spelling of the symbol or text. So we'll have to wait to see what happens in this most recent case. But depending on the facts, it's possible that the defendant could hear words that never sounded so right. The civil equivalent of mot gullity. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. The warmest day of the year so far is in our forecast, but there's a cooling trend after today. Our forecaster, meteorologist Ed Kieser, says in the northern and central sections of Illinois and Indiana, mostly sunny, windy, and warm. In the south, sunny in the morning, then increasing clouds with scattered showers and thunderstorms during the afternoon. The highs ranging from 70 in the north to around 80 degrees in southwest Illinois. Tonight in northern and west central Illinois, partly cloudy with patchy fog forming. In east central Illinois and in northern and central Indiana, increasing clouds and a few scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms arriving after midnight. In the south, cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, the lows from 48 in far northern Illinois to 58 in the south. And for tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sunshine with scattered showers and possibly an isolated thunderstorm. The highs from 55 in far northwest Illinois to 75 in some central and southern locations. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, March 13th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.